This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So, in honor of the passing of Gene Hackman and the fact that she's never seen it, we started The Firm last night in our home.
Ooh.
Got through the first half. We're going to finish it because you have to watch Wheel of Fortune first and then get about halfway through the movie, The Firm.
John Grisham, The Firm, that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I read the book. I think it's been years. If I've seen the movie, it's been
great,
years.
Great, great movie.
So a very underrated role that Gene Hackman was in, and I rewatched the movie over the weekend.
So good.
Young Frankenstein.
Really?
Oh. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, that's right. He plays the blind man in Young Frankenstein.
Steen.
Yeah, Frankenstein. When he goes and he's like, oh, here's some soup, and pours it on his lap, that's Gene Hackman.
Really?
He is not included in the credits in the film, but when they released the DVD later, he had kind of blown up as an actor, and he is one of the main names listed on the DVD box.
Even though he has a small part.
But in the credits, his name is nowhere to be found.
At Dana's house last night,
take two,
we got to finish Terms of Endearment.
Ugh.
From the early 1980s.
One of the best movies ever made.
And Shirley MacLaine, Jack Nicholson.
Yes, and Deborah Winger, and oh my God, I love them all. And we had to do this in two chunks because the first night, I don't know, we just had to do this in two chunks. So for any woman my age or older listening, there's this moment in the movie where you just start ugly crying. Like every single woman. Amy Anderson was talking about this the other day and even posted about it. There is that moment where Deborah Winger is in that hospital bed and those children come to see her and you will just be on the floor sobbing. Yep. As well as the moment when Jack Nicholson comes back to comfort Aurora. And it's just a very emotional movie. My God, I'm on the ground. I've seen it multiple times.
Cathartic.
During that moment, I reach over. He was sleeping! He fell asleep!
Preview.
I said, I'm sorry that this young mother's cancer battle is not gripping enough to maintain your attention.
Do you think it was? Do you think it was the scene, the death scene itself,
preview,
or the night music that plays throughout the movie on a loop?
He did say, "I feel like maybe they could cut down playing that by half." It does once you, and it's my favorite song. But
once you're aware of it,
once you're aware of it, it does play almost underneath every single. It wasn't snoring.
Sure,
but he goes, I'm sorry, babe, I'm tired. And I go, she's dying. So tonight will be take three.
No.
Oh, yeah.
He is not
finishing it like a man. He will finish that movie.
No, he did what a man does at the end of that movie, and he went to sleep.
Wake me when something happens.
That's what a man does in that movie. That's what a man does in You've Got Mail and
devastatingly
When Harry
sad.
Met Sally.
It's one of Jack Nicholson's best performances for which he won an Oscar.
Okay, first of all, Jack Nicholson's best movie performance of all time was A Few Good Men.
Well, I think there are women who would disagree with that.
Not many men.
You're going to need a lot of drinks.
Cuckoo's Nest.
It's so
yeah,
good.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest. I have seen bits and pieces of that. I've never seen it in its entirety, and that's on me.
Last detail.
We don't movie shame on this show.
I know. So. I really do need to go back and watch that. And Shining, of course. And how many Oscars does he have?
Rotten Tomatoes has ranked the best Jack Nicholson movie.
Okay, so is the Terms top, of Endearment better be in the top
a
three?
A Few Good Men is at the top, number one, no
a
doubt about it.
A Few Good Men is not.
Well, then it's
one.
It's a fake list.
Give me the
fake
top news. 10 and start with 10.
A Few Good Men is number 11.
Oh!
Fake news.
Pritzi's Honor.
Pritzi's Honor.
Pritzi's Honor, number
yes.
10.
Yes, Pritzi's.
About Schmidt.
Oh, yeah.
That was an early one, I think.
As Good As It Gets, number 8.
That's a good.
And by the way,
movie.
They are ranked based on their Rotten Tomatoes percentage score.
Okay.
And they are very critical. So the fact that there's an 86% at number 8, we're only getting better from here.
Good.
The Passenger, number 7.
Center. Okay.
Five Easy Pieces.
Yeah.
Reds.
Oh.
The Departed.
Oh,
how did we forget The
I
Departed?
Forgot about
that's
that
number
one.
Four? Is that
we,
number four?
That is number four.
We watched that over the weekend. That is so good.
God, he is good.
2006 release with a 91%. Dan, number 3, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
93%.
Number, here we go.
2 with a 98% released in 1987. Do you care to guess?
1987.
That better be in Terms of Endearment's number one.
Ironweed.
What movie did he have in 87?
87.
Go ahead.
Broadcast News.
Oh, really? I completely forgot he was in Broadcast News, which means number one is Terms of Endearment. I'm not telling you. I'm telling you.
Number one, released in 1974.
It is not Terms of Endearment. It's The Shining.
No!
With a 98%, it is not The Shining.
Chinatown.
Chinatown.
What?
Shining is not in the top 10.
The Shining is, he is scrolling. 13 with an 83%.
Where's Terms of Endearment?
81%.
Please.
Number 14.
What?
Well, this is about Jack Nicholson. It's not about the movie. Overall.
No, it's about the movie, Dan, because these are Rotten Tomato scores.
Well, no, because actually I am wrong. It is about his performance and not the overall score, because you get down to number 17, and this 1967 film has a solid 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Never even heard of it. The Shooting.
Huh.
The Shooting.
Hmm. Jack Nicholson's won 3 Academy Awards.
I just looked it up. Thank you. Would you like to share, Dan? As you were doing that, I was looking that up.
Let me guess. Terms of Endearment.
Yes.
Hmm.
The Shining.
No.
Really? Wow.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay. Yeah.
Best Actor.
And
Best
as good
Supporting,
as it gets.
Yeah. Terms of Endearment.
Yep.
And Best Actor for As Good As It Gets.
That's right.
Oh. You know
it's
what?
Nighttime special person.
You know what?
When did he become special?
Just now.
Dana's probably rethinking everything.
The fact that he fell asleep at the end of that.
He was like, I've got the gist of it. It was a good movie. He did say it was a good movie.
The fact that he fell asleep at the end of that movie, his stock just went up on my market.
I've got the gist of it. There's drama. People share their feelings.
Somebody
Something
dies.
Bad happens. And you feel
children
warm all
are
over.
Ripped from their mother at a very tender age. Yeah, pretty much.
You,
and
have,
then
you have your cathartic ugly cry.
Then that music.
Mm-hmm. And then when this starts, it's time to go night night.
Cannot believe that came in as normal. And you know what?
By the way, Shirley MacLaine looks old in this movie, and you're older.
I'm aware.
Okay.
You really had to bring that back.
When we are ranking...
We went through that yesterday.
Yeah. I know.
When we got over it.
We are ranking the best Jack Nicholson movies. The very next thing that comes up on my little Google search is the best movie of all time, right? And, okay, so there's... It's hot. What are your metrics for that, right? I am here to say that all of the movies that are always listed, I have either never seen or categorically deny they even belong in the top 10, and you will be shocked. I'll tell you some of the ones that I just do not think are the best movies.
Okay, so it's always the same cast of characters.
Yes.
The Godfather is going to be in there.
Yes, it is. Once you've seen Goodfellas, The Godfather stinks.
Citizen Kane.
Yes, Citizen Kane in 1941. How is that the best movie of all time?
It's an extraordinarily good movie. Great script, great shooting. It's a good one.
I have never seen it.
Gone with the Wind is going to be in the top 10.
Yep.
It always is. Read the top 10 and I'll tell you how many I've seen. I guarantee you it's zero.
Is Shawshank in there?
Shawshank is mentioned.
Okay.
In 1968, this came in as ranked number one when they pulled directors in 2022. 2001, A Space Odyssey, never seen it.
Nope.
Oh, that's a great one. How about Battleship Potemkin?
Gone with the Wind is on the list. Schindler's List is on the list.
In the top 10?
Yes.
Okay, I've seen one.
Seven Samurai.
Get out.
No, that's it. That's all that I see in front of me.
Oh, so many of the movies of the last half of the 20th century were based off the story from Seven Samurai.
So The Godfather's up there. Is Godfather 2 in the top 10?
It usually is. But it depends on who you're asking. It's time. We need to, Citizen Kane, you had your time.
Well, but
That was 1941.
But the thing is, it's a foundational movie. So much came after it because of it.
Is Happy Gilmore on the list?
No.
Oh, it's a fake list.
Although Happy Gilmore 2, I do believe its release is pending.
And they're moving a movie out of the top 10 just to put it in there?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Dana, I pulled up a separate list of the best Jack Nicholson movies of all time.
Yes.
Terms of Endearment.
Number one.
13.
In one IMD list, you guys, Shawshank comes in at number one.
Ooh, Scott, how about The Empire Strikes Back?
That is a great movie.
In the IMDb top 250 movies of all time, Godfather is number two.
Top Gun Maverick is number three.
Godfather 2 is number four. Shawshank is number one. You are not going to believe number three from 2008.
8 Mile.
Nope.
Wait. From 2008?
Yeah. I mean, wow.
Give me a hint.
Well, I'll give you this hint. Forrest Gump comes in at number 11.
2008?
It is a superhero movie.
Okay.
Transformers?
The Dark
Spider-Man?
Knight comes in number
Batman.
Three.
The Dark Knight.
That's Heath Ledger, Batman. Right?
Yes, and that is most certainly one of the best movies of all time.
Except I can't stand the way What's-His-Face talks throughout the entire movie. I'm Batman, and I am the Dark Knight.
Don't you feel like you would talk like that if you were Batman?
Oh, yes.
I don't think I would.
Let me give you this top 10. Number 10, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Number 9, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring.
No.
Number 8, Pulp Fiction. I agree with that. Number 7, Schindler's List. I agree with that. Number 6, The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
I saw that entire trilogy. It is too long.
Two Rings movies?
What? Number 5, 12 Angry Men, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, Godfather Part 2, followed by Dark Knight, The Godfather, and Shawshank Redemption.
So this is a post a certain amount of...
Clearly.
This is post-1970 easily, because there's so many movies they're missing out that would be on anybody else's top 10. 913-586-7798. You say ties too white?
Wide.
Okay.
Please. I know my song lyrics.
I thought we were going to have a lyric competition.
I know my song lyrics.
I thought you said your ties too white.
No, wide. Rock and roll to me.
From CNN, in the midst of his struggle, Luke Combs wants to help others. Have you heard about this?
This is going to be the one thing you have in common with him, Scott.
The superstar country. What about Amazingly Talented? The superstar country singer talked to 60 Minutes Australia about living with obsessive compulsive disorder and anxiety. Quoting here from Luke Combs, "I do really well with it for the most part. It's something I think about in some part every day." Combs said he has an obscure form of OCD and suffered probably his worst flare leading up to his recent trip to Australia. Quoting here, "It's thoughts, essentially, that you don't want to have, and then they cause you stress."
Yeah.
"And then you're stressed out, and then the stress causes you to have more of the thoughts, and then you don't understand why you're having them, and you're trying to get rid of them, but trying to get rid of them makes you have more of them." He described his thought patterns as, quote, "really complex and really detailed."
Real quick, he calls this a, quote, particularly wicked form of OCD.
It's called the big O or the super O or something,
something
like
else.
That. I'll have what she's having.
What did I miss?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Just sitting there and talk to Dan. Mind your business.
What is his particular kind of disorder?
Are you guys towing the line?
No, we are not.
We didn't cross it.
He just made up a disorder.
No, I didn't. I wouldn't call that a disorder.
No,
hey, reel it in, you two. Reel it in. Getting a little blue.
Wait, go back. I do want to talk about this. He says he has dealt with these intrusive thoughts on stage for 45 seconds of every minute, 4 weeks. So I'm going to say that again. For 45 seconds out of every minute for weeks. Huh. And it started around 12 or 13 years old. And he says he wants to spend time at some point trying to help kids who deal with this. Quote, it held me back so many times in my life. Where you're just trying to accomplish something, you're doing really great, and then you have a flare-up, and it can ruin your life for 6 months. He says he now has the tools to not be as afraid of the disorder as he has been in the past. His message is, quote, it's possible to live your life and be really successful with OCD.
Now, I thought OCD, forgive me for interrupting, Sam, I thought OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, was what I exhibit every time I'm trying to walk out of my house.
It can be. It can
where
be.
I have to, there are 7 things I have to check.
Yep.
And it is a routine. I check them in the same order every day. I touch all 7 of these items in my home, stove, oven,
let me just
fireplace,
read you this
switch.
From the Mayo Clinic. OCD features a pattern of unwanted thoughts and fears known as obsessions. And then those obsessions lead you to do repetitive behaviors.
So
there's a spectrum of this. And I think his is he is so bogged down in the mental anxiety that comes from it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Scott, what you do before you leave the house is how your OCD presents.
It is the last thing I do before I walk out of the house. And it has to be.
Yeah.
And it can take me anywhere between 3 to 10 minutes.
And it's a control thing. I have severe OCD, and mine manifests in extreme anxiety that I am horrible at everything I do because I may have messed up one thing that day.
Right. But on those days where it takes me, like I said, on a good day, if I've left the house already before, like went to the gym or, you know, went to see my psychologist or whatever, and I come home, on those days, those are good days because the second time when I'm leaving, it'll take me about 3 minutes to go through all 7 and leave the house. On a bad day, and today was a bad day, it took me, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes, and I got in the car and got out of the car and went back in.
Scott, do you remember a couple of years ago when I called you on the way to work and I said I got to run back home real quick? I forgot my headphones.
You were lying?
That was a lie.
Was it really?
My anxiety was killing me that I left the stove on. I'm not even kidding you. I drove 45 minutes that day. It's a 15-minute drive to work. I drove 45 minutes that day because I had to go all the way back home to make sure that my stove was not on.
It's real.
Okay, but don't you also think that a lot of creative types have the brain stuff? We all do.
Probably.
I don't say we all do. Most of us do.
Probably.
Most of us do.
It wouldn't surprise me.
There's no way I've been around all of you weirdos my entire career, and we all have the same thing going on. We do.
Mm-hmm. I literally started my car in the garage, got out of my car, and rechecked the stove and oven.
Dana, the way that yours presents, you literally just did seconds ago.
Which one? Oh, my chin hair. Combs, listen to this. Who has previously, because when I start thinking about being stressed out, I stress out, and then that's what I do. Combs, who has previously talked about his diagnosis, described his particularly wicked and more obscure OCD than is what is commonly associated with that condition. And then it goes on. This is from the Rolling Stone article, which is better. Such as compulsive physical manifestations of the disorder, like what you do, repetitive counting, performing specific rituals.
Right.
Instead, Combs says he experiences obsessional mental symptoms, which results in, quote, intrusively violent thoughts and extreme constant anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Mine has manifested as anger management in my younger years.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 7798-586-7798 on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
From the text line, Scott, I find this fascinating. Even though you knew you didn't even use your stove or oven in the morning, you still have to check it before you leave the house. That is absolutely correct. And I know that I checked it before I went to bed.
You think you will ever transfer your specific fear from the stove to something else?
Probably not.
Because like when the girls were little, you didn't run in and make sure they were breathing every 6 minutes.
No,
you didn't. Like, you have a very specific stove and you've never had a fire.
No, it's all about my fear of my house burning down. And I don't know where it comes from. I've never.
Do you have candles?
I do. I have one in the bathroom and one on the kitchen island.
Are they okay. Out? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Sam!
Those. You're a jerk.
Are you sure
those
about that?
Those are two of the seven things I check before I leave the house. Remember, I touch the top and I say candle capped.
I do the same thing. I actually managed to get over that specific issue with the stove a couple of years ago, and then my roommate decided to leave the stove on, and it all came flooding back.
Let's go to Sam in Kearney, Missouri. Sam, hello.
Hey, how you guys doing? I love your show.
Thank you. It's yours. Go ahead.
My biggest thing is when I lock my vehicle with my remote.
Chirp, chirp.
I don't care where I'm at, where I go. I know I lock it and I set the alarm. The first hit locks it, and then the second one sets the alarm. I do it every time, and then no matter where I'm at, I will go back out and I get to thinking about it. Did I even tell my wife, did I lock my truck or not? And I go back out and I do it again just for my own peace of mind. Even at home, at nighttime, I know I lock my truck when I get home. But before I go to bed, I'll do it again just to make sure I did lock it.
Huh. And how long have you been doing this, Sam?
Well, probably about 6-7 years now since I've got the one with the remote.
Is there something was your truck or car broken into?
What's that?
Was your car or truck ever broken into?
Oh, never, never. Well, I say that long, long, long time ago, I think before they even made remotes.
Huh.
It's just, I get to thinking about it, and then it starts bothering me, and then I just, no matter where we're at, if I'm in a restaurant or like we went to the RV show, got all the way into the escalators to go up, and we parked in that church parking lot, I walked all the way back and where I could see it and set the alarm again.
I'll be done. Sam, I got fat fingers. I didn't mean to cut you off, brother. Thank you for the call. Angela in Kansas City. Angela, hello.
Hello. How are you all?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Love the show. Love, love, love it.
Oh, thank you.
I wondered if you were talking about OCD because you had Helen Hunt on yesterday. And in that movie, As Good As It Gets, Jack Nicholson's character is pretty OCD about washing his hands.
Yeah. Horrible OCD about it.
Yeah. So that's why I called. I wondered if that was why you were talking about it. Sam says no. You were just
It just seamlessly happens that way, Angela. And his was hand washing, sort of like Howie Long's is the fist bump because he doesn't want to touch other people's hands.
Correct. That's absolutely right. Shanda, I believe the name is, in North Kansas City. Hello, Shanda.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. And it's Shanda.
Shanda, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, I think your ex is named the same.
That is correct.
But, I just wanted to say that I can relate to the OCD sort of things based off of having undiagnosed ADHD back in the day, where in order to feel some order in your life, you do some weird things. Like I would group numbers or letters of a word together in order for it to be even.
Yeah.
And if it's not even, do an exclamation point or something like that so that it will be even.
Shanda, when did that start? When did that start for you?
Oh, man, probably like second grade.
Shanda, yeah. I can remember as early as 4 or 5 years old doing those things with evens and odds.
Yeah. And it's like if it doesn't make it even, you got to add an exclamation point. But also like how OCD can, so undiagnosed ADHD, you get OCD traits in order to find some order in your life. But all OCD is based off of fears. And so for ADHD, it might be fear of, regulation or having, order. I also had a tire blowout on the highway once, and then a little while afterwards was like, I think my tire's about to blow out, and I would have to stop, check. And I would even say, no, you can't go this fast if you're...
Oop, we're losing you, Shanda. But I'm going to be honest, and thank you for the call. I'm glad she brought up the even, odd, and the order. As young as 5 or 6 years old, I did some, I don't want to say really strange things, because for any of us who have this thing, it's just what we do. But I did some really kind of funny, odd things with respect to even and odd.
And could, I was things never be odd?
I was a child in the back seat when my dad... you want me to tell you what it was?
Yes, of course.
It's so weird. But Lynn, I don't want to say that because if this is your thing, you're going to be like, yeah, I'm weird too. But I bring this up because I was so young. I would not have known, why am I doing this thing? Like at age 5 or 6, you just don't know. I just know that I did it. And so how do you learn to do something like that at age 5 or 6. You didn't check stove tops when you were a child.
No, because I had my mom do it.
You morphed into it as an adult. Well, when I was in the backseat of my dad's car, he would be driving. We would be going down the street. I would blink at every other house. And if I missed one, I would have to start all over and do it again. And I liked the odd houses, not the even ones. So I would start with one on the block. Like we would turn and there'd be a house right there.
Oh, not the odd numbered houses.
No, because like I didn't even understand address. I didn't know where I was going then either.
Okay.
But just the number one house on the block, as we turned, I would blink. And then we could pass number two. And when I would hit number three, I would blink again. And I would go all the way until I would mess one up. And then I would have to start all over again. I was 5 or 6 years old. Where does that come from?
I can tell you.
I don't blink anymore.
Drama. It's a sense of control.
Beaten as a child. But I know that, Sam. I've had so much therapy. They say it is some sort of self-soothing thing.
You also don't have to be beaten as a child to have trauma.
Right. But let me state it another way. If we were on the way, I always wanted to be with adults. I did not want to be left alone ever as a child. And so...
You don't like being left alone as an adult.
And so if we were on the way to school... I would never go to camp. I mean, that was a non-starter. Even as a child, I was like, nope. I think I probably had anxiety on the way to the babysitters or on the way to where we were going over not wanting to be separated from my mom and dad.
Hmm.
It's the only thing I could ever come up with.
Yeah.
Why I did those weird things.
We have some breaking news.
Oh, yes.
What's up? I'm hoping it's not breaking in another sense, Bobby Witt Jr. has exited a spring training game because he took a fastball to the wrist.
Oh, no.
Let's all hope and pray that there is no injury, that it's just sore.
Going to Twitter now.
But Bobby Witt Jr. has left.
Who were they playing so we can pop their bus's tires?
Spring training game.
When they come to town.
A ball to the wrist.
Huh. Let me look. Oh, you know there's going to be video. Where are they playing, Sam?
They're in spring training down in Arizona. I don't know when this developed, but I've been going either living in Western Shawnee or driving out to Western Shawnee because to pick up the kids or that's where they went to school. You know that hill on Shawnee Mission Parkway as you're driving into, right after 435, you're driving into Western Shawnee?
Yeah.
They have very large light poles all the way down the hill.
Yeah.
And I don't know when this started, but I caught myself doing this the other night. I have begun, and I don't know when I began doing it, clicking my teeth to try to time three clicks between each light pole.
You're counting things like I did when I was little.
Yeah.
I've transferred my weirdness to you.
Like this.
Do you do it too, Dan?
And I try to time it rhythmically to get three clicks between each light pole.
Oh, that one's real weird. Which, by the way, I say weird. Obviously, to be weird, you have to be different. If there's anything we've proven from this segment, we've all got it.
We've all got so that
it's
thing.
It's not okay. Different. It's not weird. It's actually
normal. I'm going to look this up during a break. What is it about the number patterns and anxiety and OCD? Like, I always wanted the evens or the odds. And like our last caller, I'm so glad she called in because it kind of jogged a memory for me where, you know, I also used to like shake my head like this, Scott, watch. I'd go like that when I was little. But I had to do it an odd number of times. I could do it three times. I could do it five times. But then I would do one more.
And it couldn't be even?
Nope. And then I would have to do another one. And that is borderline Tourette's, by the way.
Well, or nervous twitch.
Can I ask you about something else that
yes.
I've noticed you do in the newsroom?
Yeah.
When you're stressed out? You
that.
Feel like this, no, this like throat thing.
Oh. Mm.
Yes,
no,
I do that all the time.
No, that's not it.
Yep.
It's almost like a.
Yep.
And you only do it when you're like, when we're in a hurry to get something ready for the show and you're stressed out and you start doing it. I'm like, well, Dana's stressed out. Everybody get out of her way.
Look up weird noises and odd numbers and anxiety, and we'll tell you what it says when we come back.
All right, Dana Wright, Sam Stevie the Third.
See, there's three of us. I'm okay with that.
I'm the only normal one here. My name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBC. The Rams just released wide receiver Cooper Kupp.
Oh.
They did.
Yep.
He is open and available to be picked up.
They were unable to find a trade for him.
I'm going to make you all feel so normal because we thought we were not normal, but then I'm reading on OCD things and we are normal. Scott.
Dana.
Individuals may develop a specific preference for or aversion to certain numbers, particularly odd or even, which can manifest as a compulsion to count or engage in repetitive behaviors related to those numbers. It is a specific subtype of OCD, sometimes called counting numbers OCD.
How original.
It can involve intrusive thoughts or sensations related to counting, perfection, symmetry, or exactness. And I've got that with photos. When I see them on the wall, I've got to fix them. There is odd versus even, where you will feel off or not right or feel compelled to make something odd or even. That's mine. Okay. There is a term for one of them called arithmomania. Arithmomania, which is the compulsive focus on numbers, sometimes seen as an expression of OCD. You have arithmomania.
Apparently I do.
In between streetlights. I had it in between odd houses.
Let's go to Alex.
Yeah, and you're the only normal one.
Yeah, Alex, quite. Alex in Overland Park. Hello.
Hey, guys. So I am not an expert on OCD, but I have an adult child with pretty severe OCD, and I also have as a nurse training in mental health. So what Dana read is exactly right.
Yep.
So OCD is subtypes. It has like a theme. And so whatever the theme is, your OCD will kind of like collect itself around. And unfortunately, people can have like a lot of themes even. And
a
so
lot of
the
themes
can even change from one thing to the other, depending on what's going on. So the obsession is the theme. The compulsion is the thing that you do to reduce the stress of that theme.
Yep.
And And then, unfortunately, the compulsion doesn't really work. And so the stress continues and the compulsions escalate and the cycle keeps going on and on and on. And so the best treatment is exposure response therapy, basically. And then medication is really helpful. But one of the things that's really interesting about OCD is that you actually aren't trying to stop the thought process. You're trying to stop the compulsion
that comes from it.
Right. Because you can't stop the way your brain thinks. Okay. And the more you pay attention to, oh, don't do that, don't do that, the more those intrusive thoughts you were talking about get bigger and bigger. So what you want to do is stop the compulsion. And so there are lots of different ways through therapy, and you really, really, really want to have a very trained therapist to treat OCD. And I think one of the hard things is when people have OCD, they'll hear people say, like, I'm so OCD about my house. No, you're not. No, you're not. OCD is a disorder.
Right.
It is debilitating for people, and it can take over their lives. And it's actually not as uncommon as people think. It's just how affected are they by it.
The only time it takes control, I wouldn't even say it takes control of my life. If I go to Mexico, I will call Heather across the street as soon as we land, and I'll say, is the house still standing? Because the entire 3-hour flight down to Cancun, all I'm thinking is, I forgot to check something. I forgot to check something. Huh. I know it.
I love Alex's call. That was very, very informative. It's important that we talk about these things, because if one person listening is like, oh yeah, that was me. It's also strangely comforting to me in a weird way that I started having this thing like age 5 or 6, because that to me says it is truly completely out of my control. You wouldn't teach a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old to do that. And I'm sorry that your son has it, Alex, but he sounds like he's in great hands with you as an ally.
I wonder how much of my life I have wasted checking the oven and stove.
Well,
it's
don't
hours.
Think about it. It's going to make it worse.
It's hours, Scott.
It's more than hours.
Days.
It's more than days. I mean, sometimes it takes me 8 minutes to get out the door.
Times 7 days a week or.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Is that why you don't leave your house?
I can't burn down if I'm in it. News with Dan Weinbaum coming up in two
it
minutes.
Could.
It's all making sense now. Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.